Okay, well, Romans 6, we had first time a couple of weeks back, whenever it was, we were thinking about God remembering, and God remembering us, and then we thought about Jesus remembering last time, and now we're thinking of us remembering Jesus. So one of the great goals that Christians have in our lives is to think about ourselves as well as we can in the way that God thinks about us. Is that right? It's to think about ourselves as well as we can in the way that God thinks about us. Like, it might be something very basic, you know. I don't want to think of myself, even if the world tells me I should think of myself as an animal, then I'm not going to do that, because I'm a man made in the image of God. That's how I want to think about myself. So I want to think about myself in God's way of thinking, not as other people think or tell me to think. I want to think about myself as a child of God, and every Christian should. We might not look like it, and we might wonder how we can be at times, but I want to understand that God thinks of me as his son, and you know, of his children as his sons and daughters. So I want to think of myself as a son. I don't want to think about myself as though I don't belong, or as though I'm a slave. I want to think about myself as a son. And so it goes on. I don't want to dwell on my sins miserably, as though God hasn't forgiven them yet, and as though I'm piling them up and my situation is getting worse and worse. I want to recognize that through Jesus he has forgiven my sin. So I want to think about myself as a forgiven person, and not as according to how I feel. Sometimes I don't feel forgiven. I don't know what it's perhaps like all the time to feel forgiven, but I want to think that way. No matter how I feel, I am forgiven for the sake of Jesus. And so it goes on. So the aim then for Christians is to think about ourselves as well as we can, the way God thinks about us. So let's imagine that's you there in the thought bubble, and God thinks about you like that. You're a saint of the Most High, you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, and you need to try and think about yourself in the same way that God thinks about you. That's your challenge. And that is one of the great goals of the Christian life, because the more we can think about ourselves in the way that God thinks of us, the more we'll be transformed, the more our lives will be changed. And it's about having the right identity then. Remember, we used that word at the beginning of this short series, about remembering what we remember, and what we remember about ourselves and how we think about ourselves is our identity. And we want to have an identity not determined by how we feel, but by what God has done in Christ for us. So to think about ourselves as he thinks. So just going back over the last couple of messages, how should we think about ourselves? And how should that change my identity? Well, God, we saw, chooses not to remember the Christian's sins. It's a wonderful thing. He's never thinking about the Christian's sins. He's chosen not to do that. And so, if that's what God has chosen not to do, then I shouldn't choose to do it. I shouldn't dwell on my sins all the time and turn them over again and again when God has chosen not to remember them. I should try not to remember them either. But instead, God recalls Jesus' righteousness as being mine. So if God does that, I should do that too. I should be thinking about myself as righteous in Jesus. And we thought last time about Jesus remembering, and we thought about temptation especially, and how when Jesus was tempted, he could remember the last time he was tempted in the same way, and how he was victorious and didn't yield to the sin. And so every time he was tempted, if he did yield, it would be the very first time he ever did that sin or any sin. So that really greatly helped him to stay in the right place, in the power of the Holy Spirit, when he was really and truly tempted, like we are. and to keep walking in righteousness. He remembered, he could remember himself, he could remember his past, and it was okay because his past was righteous and beautiful and good. And so it's good for us then not to dwell on ourselves, but to dwell on Jesus, to dwell on his past, to dwell on what he did and his righteousness, because that's our righteousness. These are the kind of ways we should be changing our thinking as Christians. So we shouldn't sometimes, as we do, be thinking, I've just done something really terrible. God, you've seen what I've just been thinking. You've seen what I've just said. You've seen what I've just gone and done. How can you love someone like me? So we can dwell on our sin like that, constantly remember our sins. Maybe we can dwell on that sin that was 20 years ago. But that's not what God wants us to do, because he's not doing that. He's dwelling on us in Christ. He's remembering us as people in Christ. And he is not dwelling on our sins. So we confess them, we repent of them, we move on, and we start again to set our minds at rest, thinking what God thinks of us in Jesus. And in the same way, we should never forget Jesus. So we should not remember our own past sins, and we should never forget Jesus' righteousness. We should always be dwelling on that, and we should dwell on how he overcame the temptations he faced. We are meant to remember Jesus. Jesus does not say to us at the Lord's table, this do to remember how bad your sins are. I know Christians do that sometimes. They sit at the table and they're thinking about themselves and what bad people they are. Jesus doesn't say that. He says this do in remembrance of me. He wants you to remember him. He wants you to remember his righteousness, his good deeds for you. And that is helping us to think about ourselves as God thinks about us, and to think about what Jesus has done for us, because it's what he has done that changes the way God thinks about us and gives us a chance to think differently too. So, let's illustrate this quickly with a passage that we're probably familiar with. What were we in the past? Well, we were children of wrath, Paul says. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So it's like when Jesus rose up from the dead, we rose up with him, says Paul. And we were dead in transgressions, dead in ourselves, but Jesus rose up. He dumped our transgressions in the tomb, in the grave, and left them there, having died for them. And he rose up in his righteousness with us, so that we're raised up, says Paul. And where do we get raised up to? Not to, just to Kyle, but to the heavenly places. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So it's a way of God thinking about us again. How does God think about you and me in Christ? He looks and he sees his son with him at his right hand, and we're with him too. We're there with him. We've been raised up with Jesus. These are the kind of things we have to try and understand as Christians and renew our thinking with, so that we are able to say, well, I was that in the past, but I'm dead to that. And now in Christ, since ever I became a follower of Jesus, I'm alive with him, and I'm in a new life. Old life's gone, new life's come. And this is not just some make-believe. It's not some thing we have to just try and imagine. This is reality. It's true, and it's really happened. God has changed his thinking about us, so that our old self is dead, it's gone, our new self is raised up. And what makes this personal to us is that Jesus has come to the Christian and he's given us his Holy Spirit. So the life of Jesus dwells in us. Not the life of the Jesus dying for our sins, the life of condemnation, which Jesus took for us, but the life of Jesus being alive again, risen. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, not from the tomb, not from the cross, but from the right hand of the Father. You know, so Peter says on the day of Pentecost, Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of the Father, has poured out what you now see and hear. So we have the Spirit of the risen Jesus in us. We are dead to sin. We are alive to God. So we cannot live as though nothing's happened when we become Christians. And that's what this part, this chapter is about, and quite a lot of this part of Romans. It's about getting our thinking right. So if I just go through verses, early verses of Romans quickly, so, and it'll have to be very quickly. So Romans 6, verses 1 to 4. As a Christian, I can't say to myself, you know, I'm a Christian now, my sins are forgiven. I can think what I like, I can say what I like, I can do what I like, because this passage starts by saying you definitely cannot do that. I can't go on sinning so that God somehow gets more glory by having more sins to forgive of mine. That's absolutely not the way, says Paul. And the reason he says it's not the way is because we died to sin. That's what he says there. We died to sin. Now, as Christians, you and I are very aware and we get tempted and we dwell on the temptations and we fall and we sin. So how can Paul say we died to sin? This is really the key thing for us to understand in this passage. In what sense have I died to sin? But we'll come to that in a minute. Paul says, because we've died to sin, we can't live in it any longer. It's not an option for a Christian. We can't entertain little sidelines of sin. Don't you know, says Paul, when we were baptized in Christ, it was in order to mark a point where things, to show that things were changing. Remember, in Paul's day, people got baptized the day they came to faith. You know, think of Lydia, for example. You know, whose heart the Lord opened, and she's baptized in the river straight away. Philippian jailer comes to faith. He and his household, they're baptized in the house, presumably. It's like, now you've just become a Christian, but you've got to understand this is a really, really big thing. And the baptism helps to show that. It's obviously it's a symbol of washing, but it's much more than that. It's a symbol of being dead and alive in Christ. Symbol of something washed away, something gone, something finished, and something new, a newness, a cleanness in Christ. You're dead to sin, you're alive to God through Christ. So, as he says at the end there, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. So, now you may have been baptized as an infant, don't worry about that. The baptism is just a symbol, you know, it's just a picture. The reality is what happens when you believe, and what happens in God's mind, and when God sees you believing in His Son Jesus and gives you His Spirit into your heart and unites you to Jesus forever. Now that's the reality. It's an inner reality, and it's a reality with God, which He knows and He sees. So we can't just go on living in sin as Christians because we died to sin. So God's thinking about us has changed. So in the next bit of the passage, he says, you know, about death and resurrection, I've highlighted the key, key bits here. Our old self was crucified with Jesus, so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, I know reading this, we spend hours and hours on this, just trying to get our heads around this and maybe not even succeed. But you can see that there's something happening here. Christ died, and we died with our old self, was crucified. The body of sin, this is us, our flesh, which is actively desiring things that God doesn't want us to do, it's been taken out of the way. It's got no business operating anymore. It's got no business offering itself to temptation in order that we might fall into temptation and sin. Because we died. It's an end and it's a new beginning. And so we die with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him, Paul says. And I'm going through this far too quickly. I'm sorry. But this is important. Just to, you know, dwell on this yourself later if you want. We've got this new opportunity. The old is gone, the new has come. We died to sin, we're alive to righteousness, we're alive to God. And this is perhaps a key verse for us tonight. As a result of that, you've got to think differently. You've got to reckon yourself, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. How do you think about yourself tonight? If I was to put up your hand, if you reckon yourself dead to sin, I wonder how many hands would go up. Because I think what we think often is, and I've been tempted today in different ways, that we're very much alive to sin. And that's wrong. Because I'm not to think of myself as alive to sin. Neither are you in Christ. You're meant to think of yourself as dead to sin. I am meant to think of myself as alive to something. And that is, I'm meant to think of myself as alive to God. And this is the thinking that should change. And as I think differently, I live differently. It goes on to say, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin. So I've got a new thinking. I'm dead to this. I'm dead to sin. You know, this is something that is no longer my life. My life is not righteousness in Jesus. My life is not a slave to sin. So why am I going to offer myself, the parts of my body, to sin? Middle of the passage here. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. What I can do now is I can offer myself to God, because I've been brought from death to life with Jesus. And I offer the parts of my body as instruments of righteousness. So, let's remember this graphic again. Let's remember this is our goal. God thinks of you as dead to sin and alive to righteousness. You have got to think of yourself as dead to sin and alive to righteousness too. And you say, but Roddy, you don't know the struggles I have with sin. It's not Roddy you're dealing with here, it's Paul. It's the apostle. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. This is what you have to do. He's not writing to some group of super spiritual people. He's writing to ordinary group of Christians in Rome. And he's saying this is what we do as Christians. We do it everywhere in the Christian church. Because we've come to Christ, and because we died with Christ and we rose with Christ. Because our old life in sin died with Jesus, a new life of righteousness rose with him. We reckon ourselves dead to the old and alive to the new. And this is what we do in the Christian church. You might not have heard sermons on this in the past from preachers very often, and that doesn't make any difference. This is the passage that we're looking at, and this is what it says, and this is what we have to do. I think often in the past, The preachers dwell on this and they love the detail of it far too much. But listen, we're to think of ourselves here as dead to that and as alive to God. This is for Christians, this. I'm not talking for non-Christians. If you're a non-Christian, render yourself alive to sin and dead to God. That's what you have to do. And then you need to repent. And you need to say, oh God, I am dead to you. And I'm very much alive to sin. And I've got the destiny of sin, because I'm going to die as Jesus died for sin. I'm going to die for sin too. Because I'm dead to you and I'm alive to sin. And so I'm destined to die forever. That's a non-Christian. That's why we need to tell them the gospel. But the Christian, it's there and out. It's changed completely. We're dead to sin and we're alive to God. And let's home in on this a bit more then. So verse 11 of Romans 6. Reckon yourselves, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Last time we were looking at this, we sang from Psalm 25, and I mentioned a little bit about the sins of our youth. Remember what David says in Psalm 25? My sins and faults of youth do thou, Lord, forget. And what it literally says, if you've got an NIV or whatever, because remember the metrical psalms, they have to change the wording a bit so they can get it into poetry. It's not so easy to do that if you ever tried doing that. But what it literally says is, remember not the sins of my youth. This is my prayer to God in Psalm 25. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. So we're asking God to do what he says he will do in Jesus. Saying, Lord, well, please don't remember my sins of youth and my rebellious ways. And God comes to us and he says, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. You won't remember my sins and my lawless deeds. I pray that you wouldn't do it, and you say you don't do it. Now, why would I remember my sins and faults of youth? And last time, you know, we thought about, and I know, I can tell you since the last time, I got plenty of sins and faults of youth that can't pop into my mind all the time. But why would I want to remember them? Why do I want him to give them space, think about them, dwell on them in any way? Because God doesn't. He just doesn't. They're gone. It's like I didn't live that life. That wasn't me. I wasn't there. I was coming out of the empty tomb in risen glory with Jesus. That's what it says. That is gone. My history and sin is gone. It's not there to remember. God says he's chosen to forget it, He's chosen not to remember it. And so it's like I never lied. I never swore. Never blasphemed. Never lusted. I never gossiped. I was never greedy. I never judged people, and so on. It's gone. If I do these things now, it's for the first time. Because I haven't done them. Because I'm in Christ. And Christ hasn't done them. If I do them now, it's a terrible thing. It's like going back to the tomb of Jesus and raising my sins up again. Why would I do that? This is my victory in Christ. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to the past. I'm like Adam before he took the fruit. In Christ, I'm dead to sin. When we were children and we got really dirty when we were playing, then once we got really dirty, you know, of course we're told, don't get your clothes dirty. Once we got really dirty, well, it didn't really make any difference, and we got even more dirty. Because we were dirty anyway. And as Christians, we mustn't think we're still dirty. Because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So if we do any sin, like, it's like the first gain this righteousness is gained. That's what it's like according to this verse. We're dead to that. We're dead to sin. And I don't want to raise it up again. I don't want to start again. So I really do want to forget my past. I really do. If I had a button I could actually press that would put an electric shock through my brain and I would forget all the sins I've ever done, I would press that button. And what Paul is saying here is, well, you haven't got the button, but you need to make the effort to think in this new way. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Like, there isn't any life of sin in me. That's not who I am. I'm alive to God in Christ. So that's the next bit. I've got a new memory. I'm alive to God in Christ. I've got a new memory. What is my new memory? My new memory is of Jesus and his righteousness. This is why Christians, we should soak ourselves in the gospel. Soak ourselves in the New Testament teaching and also in the prophets' teaching about Jesus. Soak ourselves in Jesus because that's your life. That's your righteousness. That's who you are now before God. You're in Christ. So the more that I know about Jesus, the better. And the more I don't just say, well, that was him. But it's not me. That's not the way to think anymore. I can now say that's me. Because I'm alive to God in him. His life is mine. His history is mine. His righteousness is mine. And I can remember about myself now what Jesus remembers about himself. When Jesus was tempted to sin, it would be the first time if he did it. And so when he was tempted in Gethsemane, for example, to go his own way and avoid the cross, you can remember 3 years previously the leading of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. And definitely wasn't what he chose himself. But he went obediently into the wilderness and he suffered in terrible self-denial and terrible terrors of satanic darkness and temptation, real temptation, exhausting temptation. But he stood firm and he could remember that. He could remember, yeah, the Spirit triumphed in me over temptation that time. So here I am in Gethsemane. I'm facing the greatest temptation I will ever face. And I have ever faced. And I'm just going to keep going the way I have gone in righteousness. So when we think about our past, it mustn't be about our past, in my case, as a little boy, or as a teenager, or as an adult, or last week. But I must think about Jesus as my past, about his righteousness, and how he stood firm. And that is the way we're taught in the New Testament. We're taught to imitate Jesus. Oops, it easy. I'll go forward again. Oh, where have I gone here? Here we go. Jesus. John 13, the washing of the feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus is saying, you know, you don't imitate yourself, you don't imitate, you don't repeat the past anymore, but you imitate me. You know, as I have loved, you've got to remember how I loved, and then you've got to do it. Your past is, as I have loved, that's how you must love. The righteousness that I have shown you, that's how you live. Because you're dead to sin, and you're alive to God in me. Here's another, just a couple more things. I have power. Just if we go on in Romans a little, in Romans 6, we are brought from death to life, it says there. Don't offer yourself, the parts of your body, to sin as instruments of wickedness. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Why? Well, because you're dead to sin and you're alive to God. You've been brought from death to life. God's done it. You didn't bring yourself from death to life. God brought you from death to life. It was God's power that did that. And so what life is it that you have? It's not the life that you've created for yourself. It's the life that God has given you. It's the life that Christ has given you. It's the life of the Holy Spirit who is in Christ as he lived in this world. So this is my power. You can go on to Romans 8. We don't have time tonight to really look into this more. But this is my life. This is how I can connect my new identity with reality. That is, the Spirit of Jesus comes to me, not as a spirit of condemnation, who's going to have me dwelling on my past sins and make me feel bad about it all the time. That's gone, that's dead, that's past. The Spirit of Jesus comes to me as the Spirit of the risen Jesus, who wants me to dwell on the risen Jesus, wants me to dwell on the life of Jesus, wants me to live that life in my body too. So I'm connecting up through the Holy Spirit to what God thinks of me. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to righteousness. The Spirit comes in that way to me. He's the Spirit of the dead and risen Jesus. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Jesus. And the more I reckon myself dead to sin, and the more I present myself to God as alive to righteousness, the more his power will flow in me. Because he comes to me as the Spirit of the risen Jesus, with the life of the risen Jesus, a life of perfect righteousness, lived in the real world in very, very challenging temptations and circumstances. He comes to me. So, this is a little graphic, a little addition of the graphic to show that. So as I think of myself in the same way God thinks of me, dead to sin, alive to righteousness, power comes by the Holy Spirit from God to me, and I am transformed to really become actually like what God thinks of me. Actually like it. Like I'm being transformed in myself, so that I'm actually becoming like a person who in my physical reality looks dead to sin and alive to righteousness. And Paul will go on to express this very simply, Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as you think, your mind's renewed. I'm starting now to think about myself as God thinks of me. I'm thinking of myself as being made in his image. I'm thinking of myself as being forgiven. I'm thinking of myself as being dead to sin. I'm thinking of myself as being alive to God, alive to righteousness. And the more I do this, the more the Holy Spirit's power is in me, because he comes to me as the Spirit of the risen Jesus, the righteous Jesus. And the more I become what I understand myself to be in God, I'm transformed. I begin to really look like the thing God knows me to be and thinks me to be. Well, we've gone too quickly, I know. And there's so much more in this. Like I say, I maybe should come back to it. But let's just say, if you're in a situation of temptation. Now, what's temptation? Well, one of the things that happens in temptation, and it's more easy to see in some temptations than others, one of the things that happens in temptation is the flesh becomes interested. You feel a little kick of interest. Might be just to gossip about someone. You may feel a wee bit better about yourself if you put someone else down. And the flesh likes that. And things like pride and greed and lust and addictions of all kinds. the flesh gets interested. We start thinking about being alive to that sin. The flesh gets interested. And we, especially, we start thinking about what happened last time when we got into that temptation situation and how we fell. If we start thinking about it like that, then we're just going to fall again. And we're completely denying what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. But I'm dead to that. I'm dead to my past. It's like I have never fallen into these sins. I have never gossiped. I've never lusted. And so on. And so I can instead think of myself in Christ. Remember what he's done. And the Spirit will come and help me to walk in that, to live in that, and to leave the temptation behind, because I've got something better to do. I'm going to walk in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old way of the do's and don'ts, the letter. I'm going to walk in love, the Spirit's fruit in me, and not as someone who hears the commandment that says, "Thou shalt not do this," and goes back into the law, and goes back into condemnation, and goes back into being separated by God, from God by my sins, and gets in a miserable state because I've forgotten everything that God ever showed me he'd done for me in Jesus. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm tempted. I'm dead to that past. I'm dead to sin. I'm going to reckon that I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ. He thinks I'm like Jesus. So, as I think the same, I will be transformed into his likeness. We all, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, with unveiled face, beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord Jesus, are being transformed into his likeness. So as we behold Jesus and his righteousness and who he is and what he's like, and God says we're like that now because he is our righteousness, he is our life. We're at God's right hand, seated with Jesus. So behold that, and as I completely choose not to remember the old self, the sin, the temptation, the falls, the sins of the youth, sins of adulthood, the past and all its shame, because it's dealt with, it's gone, God's not thinking about it, he's finished with it. I'll do the same. I'll be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Beautiful. Amen.